Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Sarah and Vinny Secret Show, brought to you by Odyssey. This is the Sarah and Vinny Secret Show. Just a heads up, episodes sometimes include content not suitable for work and definitely not safe for kids. Now available on the Odyssey app.
Got a little secret, I think you want to know. A dirty little secret, about a secret little show.
Sarah and Vinny Secret Show for Tuesday, December 7th, 2021. I hear that Scott Capurro has joined us. He's rattling around in his kitchen. And
how are you
superhero
guys?
Comedian and star of the silver screen, Scott Capurro, everyone.
The dimming silver screen, the tarnished silver. He's a good rub. Thank you.
I was thinking yesterday, Scott, that it was brought up that Jay Moore might be making an appearance on our show. And I thought... Hold on. Let me finish. Because I don't know if he's going to or not. That's a Bryn question. But I thought, you know what? He may have done whatever it was you did, because he hit hard with that Jerry Maguire. And the whole world was like open to him. And he's since, you don't see him anywhere, nowhere. Like, what do you guys do to end your silver screen careers at one? I don't understand it.
We do your radio show. That's it.
It's a career killer. There it is.
Yeah, oof, man.
Jay Moore got in trouble.
It's close to
something.
Diddling a kid, apparently, because that's the one thing that gets canceled in showbiz. So.
Wow, very,
your show
very
is like kitty
funny.
Diddling, pretty much. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for that.
Sarah, what did he say?
I thought Jay got in trouble for something. Like, he was married to that... I can't even think of her name.
He married that hot chick from one of the Fox shows, right?
And they got... There was some, like, crazy... Something happened. I feel like there was something, because I think that the last thing I saw him in was... He was, like, Matt Damon had... ESP or something.
You're right. He did have another full-on starring role, and it was a Matt Damon movie in San Francisco.
And he was like pimping his brother's, you know, fortune telling out, and he's like, "Yeah, come on, you got to do it one more time because I need money or something." It was a very I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was quite a while ago. But
was
that's the
hereafter?
Last thing. Yeah, it could have been
whatever.
It was definitely something that. I thought, oh, look, there's Jerry Moore. Haven't seen him in a while.
Well, it's always the partner. Didn't some boy ruin your career, Scott? Like, your film career, sorry. Weren't you, like, in love with some guy who fucked you over and then you couldn't do it anymore?
You make stuff up and you sound a bit crazy right now. And I don't know what you're
talking
about.
No, that sounds reasonable.
Hold on. We'll get to the bottom of this. What about the stripper that you loved and he fucked you over?
That was actually a long time ago. And
right,
it was,
so was the movie career.
You have been fucked for a while, right?
Right.
That actually led to my award-winning performance at the Edinburgh Fringe. So no, it didn't fuck me over or end my career or anything. It actually gave a rocket start to my stand-up because I wrote a show about it. Vinny, I don't know what... You ask me this question sometimes, and it's fun that you ask. but I'm not quite sure what you mean, because I've been making a living on the circuit for 27 years. I mean, it's not stardom in film, but, you know, that apex is reached by so few people. I'm proud and happy and honored to have made a living as a live performer, which you and Sarah both had a chance to do, but you chose a different path as well. I mean,
no, we actually do make a living as live performers. I don't know if you're aware.
I could say to you, Vinny, in response, what happened to your live music career? How did you kill it? How did you destroy it? You were such a great performer and such a great musician. I remember you on stage playing with a band really effervescently and the audience going wild. What happened to that? What, was it a boy in your life that killed it? Or did Jay Moore stand in your way? Or, you know, but we all made our choices, didn't we? So now you're trapped in a
Jay
room.
Jay Moore in ruined Vinny's music career.
He did. You're right.
I mean, you
I'm
know,
sorry.
Showbiz is...
I get it.
It takes different paths.
You're taking insult by this. I'm actually talking specifically about your film career, not your stand-up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you want to take it the way you are, and that's okay. Film is a very difficult business to break into.
It is,
I saw you on the silver screen next to Robin Williams, and so that's a very big position to be in. But you're right. I shouldn't bring it up anymore, and I won't. You're absolutely a huge success.
No, it's fine. I just...
We are extremely lucky to have you. You're a superstar in the stand-up world.
That's true.
And we are so lucky to have you. My bad. I absolutely think you are a genius.
Why is Vinny fingering me right now? Why is he treating me like an
I'm
asshole?
Not
Look,
fingering
I'm just saying.
You.
No, seriously. I feel like... You're right. If I wanted to be a movie actor, I would have moved to L.A. That's what I should have done. I think that's where I screwed it for myself. Etz and I were talking about it recently, actually. I mean, I should have moved to L.A. when those films opened and been in it. But I decided to
You should have been taking
the
lunches with producers and giving BJs in back rooms.
All of it, yeah. Having Harvey Weinstein,
right,
know, hand on my balls and stuff.
Sure.
But I should have done that. But instead, I went on the road because I wanted to do live stand-up. I mean, I just thought... I should just be funny and good at what I do, and success will find me. I thought that would happen.
But what was the stripper story?
Pardon me?
You loved a stripper, right? Wasn't there a guy that you loved that was
That's the guy you mentioned earlier. Yeah, that he was a live performer as well. Yeah.
What was his name?
Martin.
Oh.
And you loved him.
Yeah. Like almost 30 years ago. Yeah, I thought, oh, this will be fun. I'll do this. Because he's funny, and we're both live performers. We have so much in common.
And then you fell in love, and he just used you? What happened? I don't remember the story.
Well, it didn't... I think that we were at different places in our lives, and he wasn't really out. And he was in a very, obviously, a kind of a self-destructive, position of employment, where it didn't really... It wasn't similar to what I did at all, and I was building this whole life for us, and he was just, you know, doing crystal. So in the end...
Oh, dear.
In the end, the drug wins. The drug's your best friend, you know, and that's
drugs
what you're
Drugs do win, unfortunately,
do.
More than we'd like to think they do.
And, you know, I did party a bit when I was younger and stuff, but I'm pretty clean living compared to, you know, a stripper in the Tenderloin. So I really didn't have that much in common with him in the end.
You tried to find things in common because you lured him.
I was young and I thought, ooh, a stripper. That's so fashionable. Look at me out with the night people. Like, you know, borrowing his leather jacket, you know, and his cool sleeveless T-shirt, going dancing and doing, you know, I did one line of crystal and I was awake for 3 days. My flat has never been cleaner. I'll say that. But I'm like, I can't do this. I've got yoga in the morning. I can't, you know, and I'd get up to go to yoga in my tiny short shorts. And he just giggle at me from across the room, like, where are you going? I've got to do my namaste downward dog stuff. See you later. So it was really like we grew farther and farther apart and.
Well,
yeah.
You had told me that story, and I mistakenly remembered it. I remember it differently. I think you were the story that I heard or thought I heard was you were deeply in love with that guy, and he fucked you
I was, over. Yeah. It really the breakup really destroyed me. I'd never been broken up with. And
is that when you were doing all that? Remember you used to come in with all your therapy talk, like, I need supportive satellites and...
This is before I met you guys.
Oh,
this is the supportive satellite was Fat Matt.
Oh, right.
The artist. He wasn't really fat. He was bulimic, but I call him Fat Matt because it was a control issue. But yeah, that breakup I was able to deal with. But the Martin one, it really.
Well, you were so young. You were young.
Yeah, it was my first time. And we've all been through this. Our first breakup it can be so destructive, you know, where you don't know how to crawl out of the hole.
Well, you're not used to having to deal with those kinds of emotions. That's why, you know, your first love, you'll never love harder than your first love and all those things that they say about that stuff. And then, you know, soon you're jaded and in your 30s and you don't suffer the way you do when you're young and you thought that was it. That's it. I've found my person. Like everyone says. My prince.
I also think there's an element of it, too, that was sort of like my relationship with my father, where it's like the harder I tried, the less approval I got. And so it made me struggle more. And the more determined I was to make it last, to make it work, the more he pulled away.
That's actually a lesson that you have to learn too, right? Say less is more.
Speaking of learning, it looks like I've learned a valuable lesson. Do not ask Jay Moore this question.
Yeah, and just to quickly touch on that, Jay Moore and Greg Baldwin are... Greg Baldwin used to work at our station. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you... His brother actually... No, it wasn't his brother. Some other salesperson's brother was Hedwig, so forget that.
Oh, yeah, that was a guy named Chris.
That,
yeah,
edit that out in post. This guy was a... He had a pretty serious drug problem, too, when he was working at the station, which I think he talks about his recovery because he's a sober guy now. But he's touring with Jay Moore, and we were talking. He said, you know, I can probably get Jay to come with me. And Vinny actually made a really good point, which was, then it's Jay Moore's interview. You know, if you want to come on and promote your thing and have your connection with us, then probably Jay Moore's not the guy to have on. I actually, you know, I made Jay Moore really mad.
You did, yeah. You
mentioned that yesterday, and I don't know this story.
I actually don't know if I know it either, because I remember he used to come on a lot. He came on a few times with me and Vinny, and then when No Name was my partner, he came on a few more times. And I think I made fun of a tattoo of his, and he really was done with me after that.
Like, remember how he was so into his physical appearance, and he was measuring his proteins and all that stuff,
yes,
and really worried about his body weight?
It was almost like he was on an Ayurvedic diet or something. It was so annoying how much he wanted
really
to talk
Thank
about.
Thank you, Sarah.
Sure.
The parallels continue. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's always about me being a dick. But anyway, yeah, you made fun... You made fun of his body somehow.
I did. I think it was something along the lines of, like, because we were talking about, I think he had like a giraffe on his calf. Mm. And so he just wanted to show me his calf under the guise of look at my tattoo. So I make fun of his giraffe tattoo because it was so dumb. And then I was saying something like, those look like calf implants. They looked, and I think they might have actually been calf implants. Like, they were ridiculous.
They're the most popular implants for men, actually.
And he just got really mad. I think maybe the giraffe had something to do with his grandpa or something. I'm such an asshole. I just fucked up the whole relationship.
You didn't want him on the show anymore.
That's not true. I used to like
it
having
Jay. It is true.
To, no,
you wanted him
not.
Off. You were too afraid he was taking up too much time.
Oh,
and
my
like,
God.
How can I get rid of this guy
so
without
wait,
saying
does
get
this
out of the
end
studio?
With him? Is he coming on or is he not coming on?
I don't believe he's coming on, and I think that if Greg had said it's a Sarah and Vinny show, that he might have had some bad connotation anyway. So let's just not. I don't think he's coming on. I think just
he was
Greg.
So cute and so sweet. I really liked meeting him on your show. Really
he used
fun.
To call you Scott the Pro.
Scott the Pro.
That was your nickname when back in the day. Great. Scott the Pro. He goes, who? Scott the Pro?
And I told him I was auditioning for a cable show, I remember, and he said, cable? Don't do cable. Only do network, because he's about to produce Last Comic Standing on NBC, which was a huge success, which he hosted the first season.
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
Yeah, he was
How great. Come you didn't make it on that, Scott the Pro?
I auditioned, and I got to the semi-final-y thing or whatever, and then I didn't get any further. I know. Mm-hmm. I know. Huh. I contacted Jay when I was auditioning for it, and he's like, I have nothing to do with who they choose, so good luck.
Scott the Pro.
Oh.
Yeah. I tried, Vinny. I wanted to make you proud, Vinny. I did. I wanted to make Daddy Vinny proud of Scott's little film.
Let me
career.
Read this text
I
to you.
To.
Okay, read it.
408 says, bring chocolate syrup when traveling to Australia and it makes it more tolerable.
Oh, someone can't tolerate the smell of Australia? And so they, or the
I
taste?
I don't know. I'm assuming this is someone talking about going to Australia on a woman, but that's only my ref frame of I don't know. Like, to me, the last thing I want is to taste chocolate. I want to taste her. So I don't know why you do that. But Scott, when you are giving oral to someone, do you want food in there? Chocolate? Any whipped cream? Are you into that? Do you put honey on an asshole before you lick it, or what do you do?
No. The taste is fine.
You're right.
No, why? No.
So you're not a food guy either. None of us are food guys.
No, you're going to choke. You've got so many things going on down there already. There's breath control. There's dealing with your own teeth. There's
breath
dealing
control.
With whatever they're doing. What are my hands doing? You know, you're manipulating the testicles.
Blowjobs are
food.
Jobs.
Yeah, right.
It is work.
Hello. Yeah. I mean, putting food in the mix, you're going to... Yeah,
work.
That's going to be the end.
What is the best kind of work?
Get the mascara. So listen, on Friday we had a bad advice about a lady who was getting blackmailed. And we all flipped out and had a million things to say about it. And have we gotten any response to that yet?
No.
Zero. But yesterday,
I just put in a ton of new emails in that folder. And okay. None of them are about that.
So yesterday, wow. I read a one-line question as a bad advice, and it's all anybody can talk about.
Are you serious?
I'm totally serious.
Here's
the line.
The line.
The one line. And actually, we'll get Scott's take on it first off, okay? Getting remarried in my 50s. Should we just ask for money, not stuff? That's the entire thing, and that gets 10,000 times the response that the lady who's getting blackmailed gets.
I can think of is about, well, hold on before you give.
Sure.
The blackmail thing's really difficult because none of us know what is legal and what is illegal and what is...
Right.
What your options are, I don't think. So until we hear from the lady about her visit to the police station, I don't know that we will get any kind of definitive answer on how to handle that. But Scott, what about the person in their 50s that want money instead of gifts?
Getting remarried in my 50s. Should we just ask for money, not stuff?
It must be because a lot of your listeners are in their 50s and thinking of getting remarried, and they all have feelings about that. I think, I think money's great.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I mean, it's the same thing, man. And if that's what somebody wants, give them what they want. Why give them
a... So you have no problem with this?
Well, they're old, so they've already got all the other gifts. They've probably been married at least once in the past, so they've had all the toasters and blenders and, you know, throw rugs.
No, so you don't have any problem with
you
just
have no
asking
problem with
straight
this,
up
right.
for money of people.
Because my thing was, stop asking people for anything. People expect...
Well, there are cultures where that's all you do is hand the bride money.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't have a problem with it. Also, people want to bring a gift to a wedding.
Yes, sure.
I mean, no one's going to show up empty-handed. So let them give cash. It's so easy for the guests, too. They don't have to shop or go on some silly registry or buy champagne glasses or all that stuff. They wind up in a garage sale. That's what I'm always afraid of when I buy someone a gift. That's why the holidays are so hard for me. I go to people's homes and I bring a bottle of wine. And it's so weird because the first thing they ask is, when you walk in, you hand them this gorgeous bottle of wine you bought. Not like, you know... Like a Brin bottle of wine from Trader Joe's that he pretends he's done, you know, a really nice thing, and then it's like $8.
What the fuck do I have to do with that story?
No, you know, Brin.
Brin
you
bottle of wine.
You always bring,
get
like,
the
Trader
fuck
Joe's
out of here, Scott.
Hey, some of that Trader Joe's $3 wines, those are good.
They're all right, but not for a gift. It's fine to drink in the back of your car when you're in the parking lot with your son at a show. That's fine, Brin. I'm fine with that, but not as a gift, for God's sake.
Oh my God.
I buy a case of really, and then you hand it to the host. You're like, would you like something to drink? I'm like, yeah, a glass of that really expensive wine I just handed you. Don't give me the shit from a box that Brin brought. I don't want that. Some Chablis from Safeway, actually, the stuff that Sarah serves her guests.
First of all, I want a drink nice wine. So
well, and
go.
Then they put the wine aside. You don't get any of it. And so I'm like, you know, I'm going to re-gift this event. Yeah, no, I'm going to take it back with me as I leave now and go drink the wine myself. In the car alone. I don't want to drink.
Your gift you gave away?
I re-gift
my own gift. Works.
I bring the same gift to every house. I never get any in, and so I take it when I leave.
I re-gift my own gift to myself. Yeah, so don't put people in that position. Just let them give you money. It's much better, really.
All right, well, here's some of the responses to this. Hello, radio people. Sarah is right. I love that. It is crass to ask for money. To mention gifts at all is crass, whether you're 25 or 50. It is fine to register and to share one's registry if a guest inquires, but a registry shouldn't be included with the invitation. You're supposed to be inviting people to share your celebration, not to supply you with gifts. Cheers. And then another one is a wedding planner. Hey, Sarah, I own a wedding planning company, and your advice on The Secret Show today was spot on about the remarrying bride. I wish she wrote more info. The only thing I would add is that when I have had extravagant second weddings, because she plans these weddings out, it's usually because the bride eloped the first time and now wants to have the wedding of their dreams. My tip for clients is if you don't create a registry, your guests are going to get the most random shit. So even if you don't, quote, need anything, you still should have a registry, so at least the shit you get is shit you might want. So there's that. And then I, do you want to do the bad advice for Bryn? This is about the white lady and the Korean guy. I kind of want to do this.
I kind of skimmed it. I don't, but if you want, yeah.
Well, there's multiple problems here, not just what this lady's asking. So I'll be interested to hear what Vinny has to say about it, because I think he's going to have some stuff to say. But we'll get Scott's take on it too. And they did it in big font for me, so much appreciated.
Nice.
Hey, Morning Show family, slurps all around. I'm specifically interested in Bryn's opinion on this issue. My boyfriend and I have been dating for about a year and a half now. We met during the pandemic. I don't know how they met during the pandemic, but they did. So that, paired with our age, which they're both in their late 30s, advanced our relationship pretty quickly. When we first started dating, we laid everything out on the table, since we both know what we want. I told him I want kids and a family, and to do this, it'll have to happen pretty soon, in the next year or two. His thing was, my mom's not going to like you, and it's going to be something that'll be difficult for a long time. Because she's a white lady, he's a Korean dude. And he also will not like that her parents are divorced and they're not rich. At least if you marry a white chick, she better have a come from a good family that has money.
All right.
Aside from his family, things have been great. We've been living together for about 6 months. We have plans to get married and have kids. They're not even engaged, by the way, but they have these plans. I finally met his parents a couple months ago, after over a year of dating. At dinner, his mom didn't even look at me or address me for the first 10 minutes, but by the end of the dinner, it was okay enough, albeit awkward. I saw them one other time that visit, and it actually went really well, but then I hear a week later that the mom's been talking shit about me behind my back and is really just not on board with me or us, and they are not saying anything, hoping that things just, quote, resolve themselves and I go away. My question, because of my age and timing of kids, we were thinking of just getting engaged and start to have a family and get a courthouse marriage secretly and have a bigger celebration with family once things are settled and COVID isn't threatening a cancellation. My boyfriend says if we do this, it's likely we'll be outcast from the family for at least a few years. His brother and wife who live here and are who he considers his real family are supportive of us, but I think we should just have a quick wedding and then have kids not out of wedlock. I only want to get married once. I'd rather wait than rush and have a wedding just to appease his parents. Honestly, either way, we're going to piss someone off. What do we do? How do we go forward? I don't feel like I get to fully decide since it's not my family we'd be losing. My family's fine. Help. What do you think? First of all, Bryn, is this something that you've... Because you're Vietnamese and you married a Chinese girl.
Yeah.
And there were some issues there even.
Not necessarily. I mean, I'm sure my parents would have preferred me get with a Vietnamese person.
No,
but,
I meant her parents.
Oh, you. Her parents? I don't remember that, really. I don't really know from either side. What I will say is that to me, it never matters what my parents... I mean, it matters a little bit. But if I really like this person, then I really like this person. And my question to this person that's writing is, does your boyfriend know about your plan and is he down with it? Which is like... You know, what you're saying. Is he planning on getting engaged?
He says, I don't want to do that. We'll be outcast from the family.
Yeah, then there it is. Like, if he's putting them in front of you, then there's a problem there. You know, like, how are you... Your relationship is your relationship with your partner. And sure, your parents might have a take on it, but I'm not going to let that get in the way of me finding my person that I share... Right. Pretty much all my time with. I see my parents. They live in the city 15 minutes away from me, but I see him maybe once a month, maybe twice a month at max now. You know,
have a whole new family.
Right. And this person is trying to build a family. But if this boyfriend of hers is putting the mom in front of everything, I get it and I kind of respect it. But at the same time, it doesn't seem like he's prioritizing you.
I'm just afraid my red flag here is that I'm almost 40. I need to have kids. You're my boyfriend right now. We're doing this together. Mm-hmm. The hell with all the rest of the stuff. Like, she doesn't care about losing his family because she doesn't care about his family. But he clearly has other thoughts on this. Scott, do you have some words of wisdom for these people?
Oh, well, in Bryn's case, I'm sure I'm glad it all worked out.
Thanks,
Brandon,
Scott.
And his bride. And for the marriage broker that got you two together.
Yeah. All right.
So well done, right?
Yeah, and cheap wine worked, I guess.
Yeah, it did. And Bryn's family moved on up a little bit on the social ladder. Mm-hmm. So that's right. Good, right?
Okay, it's all about me so far.
Yeah.
Well, so far, because it's about the guy in your culture. But,
person... That is true. Boys are lucky.
Oh, yeah. With this person, I feel like, the family is very important to some people. I mean, Edson's relationship with his family is really intense and really and very dense.
Well, he sleeps in the same bed with his mommy,
Well, there's that, yeah. And, I mean, not just the way you are financially with your mother. I mean, actually, literally. And it's awkward, too, because...
What does that mean?
I don't know what that
means. No, I mean, you look after everybody, Sarah. You're a caretaker. And that means that your family relationships are really probably not getting in the way of you and John. But John has to deal... we all have things to deal with someone's family, with someone's partner. I mean, John's been really brave in Sarah's case, because her family, Jesus Christ, they're a nightmare. So, yeah, it's been really hard for him. But luckily, his siblings are trash, which he's disowned. So it's good you guys have that in common, in a way.
Oh, that's true.
I thought you were talking about the people Sarah brings home, like her friends. That might be something he puts up with. Who knows?
Yeah. So just try to find a way to deal with the family, and it's never going to be easy with the family.
Yeah, I think she's forcing this whole thing. It's just like a square peg in a round hole. Vinny, do you have a take on this? Because
I'm bummed for both of them, because they're not going to have a clean look at. They have hurdles out of the gate, and they're not going to get better.
Right.
So I feel bad for them. I know that she's, I get it. Tick, tick, and this guy's great, and they love each other. But the best case scenario for any of you listening to this is you should want to like the family. And I realize it's the mom that's causing this problem, but that mom won't stop causing this problem. And there you'll be needing her help, and she's not going to be interested in helping you. So...
Babies make it better, right?
Yeah, babies do sometimes make it better. Babies will fix it all.
But listen,
remember how Scott was saying the more this guy pulled away, the harder he tried? If you are going to go through with this, and this is going to be your new in-law family, you need to not suck up to the mother. You need to, you know what I mean? Like, you'll just make her hate you more. I almost think you just be polite and do what it takes to satisfy the situation. Because if you bring in these bottles of expensive wine and doing all these things, like, she just knows you're trying to buy her. So I really think that...
I don't know what to say about that. I feel really bad for her because her situation's not good.
No.
Well, if she sees the kids, her son's happy, maybe they'll make the mother happy too. Maybe she's worried about her son. And again, if they produce offspring... If little meatloafs pop out of her vag, that'll help stuff a lot.
It does.
Bryn, am I right?
Meatloafs popping out of the vag always works.
Yeah.
Always works.
I love to push a nice meatloaf out of my vag.
So you think that the mom will come around after the baby's born? Is that what you're getting at?
Oh, yeah.
You think so, huh? And Bryn, what do you think about that theory?
I think it started off pretty fucked up from the get. I mean, just the boyfriend saying, oh, my mom's not going to like you. It's all fucked up, dude.
Right. I know.
That's a terrible, like... I probably would have kept that to myself and let my heart do what it wanted.
Probably didn't think they'd end up, considering marriage and kids. I mean, right. He probably said that without realizing that he'd end up, long-terming her. I don't know. It sucks, though. It's terrible. And it's bummer for the boy, too, because his mom's not into his wife. Sucks. I feel bad for you guys. I would say... you should not want to be somewhere where you're not welcome. But
if that's what it takes to start your family, right? Exactly.
So you got to just decide that you're going to do that without approval.
And if they get married and the relationship is, legitimized legally, that tends to smooth out things too. I mean, I think, as time passes and this mother sees her son is in it for the long haul, she may relinquish,
Maybe.
By the way, you know what just hit me like a lightning strike? And I don't mean to bring this up while Scott's on. I've already obviously insulted him and wasn't really trying to. but here's what I forgot.
As opposed to the times when you really do.
Well, sometimes you and I are just back and forth and we both are not kind to each other. But in this case, I didn't Anyway, let me just finish what I wanted to say. I've already said I'm sorry as much as I can be sorry for that. Do you remember when Jay Moore was in town? He made an appearance on our show.
I know.
And then the next day a girl called in and said, I fucked him last night.
While he was watching Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, that was it. So she goes, I went back. I went to see his show because he was on yours.
This is, by the way, absolute hearsay that we, you know, this is just something a listener told us.
Right.
Well, she came in, though. Do you remember this? We met her. So she comes in the next day and she says, I went to see his show last night because he was on your show. I hung out and met him afterward. He took me back to his room. He put on Jerry Maguire in the hotel room, and we started watching it. Why are you loving that, Scott?
I'm pinching my nipples right now as you're talking. I'm pinching both my nipples as you're talking.
God, why?
Where's a piss trough when I need one? Oh, my God. Oh.
That's hot?
Why, oh, God. Why is that hot?
What's hot about that,
Scott? Because I want to be ignored. I want him to smoke a cigar in a Lazy Boy lounger watching a movie of himself while I blow him. That's
himself.
Oh, that's just so great.
That's hot?
I want to not even be there as far as he's concerned. As far as he's concerned, I'm not in the room. Oh, it's so great.
Why is that great?
I don't understand.
Because then you both get what you want.
You
no
want to give him a blowjob.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to be nothing in return. Except
yeah, objectified. I want to be an object. I just want to be as important as the pillow or that, I don't know, that t-shirt he has to sell his next show or a poster he just signed. That's all I want to be. Oh, so great. Oh.
I don't understand that.
So wait, let me ask you this then. I'm probably going to step in it once again, but have you ever put on Dr. Mom while someone you've just met is sitting next to you?
Dr. Doolittle? Yeah. Have I brought it up?
No. What is
not
it?
Brought
Mrs.
it up. Put
Mrs.
on Mrs. Doubtfire,
Doubtfire
and
Doubtfire,
then sat there with someone you're about to bone.
No. No, because the part I'm in is so short, you got to wait forever, and by then your hard-ons are diminished.
Well, maybe
no,
you
I'm
can just
the,
put that on loop. And
yeah,
just,
put it on loop.
Just a little section match over and over and over again. There's nothing sad about that at all.
Make me a match.
No, I tried. This is why I failed at all that, because I tried to use my humor and my to get people home, and that never, never.
It worked. Don't lie about it. Listen, speaking of you know, you working on people, you have a couple shows. Well, I want to get a promotion in for those real
people,
quick.
People who like comedy the funniest people.
You had something like 1,300 people at your last show over at the Clandestine Brewery.
It was insane. They were pounding on the doors, trying to get in to not see it. We had we had a latecomer, actually, Sarah, as you suggested we might. And we never do there, but we did. And it was number 13. He was the lucky number.
Oh, I misheard you. I thought you said 1,300 people came,
no,
but only 13.
Had,
I see.
We had the lucky 13. Yeah, nice. It was worth doing.
Oh.
It was. Yeah, 13 people.
Well, let's get some more people in for these shows. What do you got coming up?
Well, my birthday's on Friday, and I'll be up in Santa Rosa at Three Disciples for my birthday show. And then Saturday, I'm here at the Hearth with Bryn's son running the door, Derek. And he's fantastic with his iPad, barking orders to people, telling them where to sit. He's very demanding. I really like it.
Yes, I didn't realize
that. Yeah, he's great. Yeah. And And then there'll be more, and maybe we can talk more about the New Year's Eve show I'm doing in Alameda. That'd
definitely. So people can go to scottcapurro.com or Eventbrite.
They're all there.
Search for Scott Capurro and get the tickets to those shows.
And come meet Derek at the Hearth on Saturday. Mm-hmm.
And maybe Bryn will probably.
Yeah, maybe.
You're going to pop in?
Well, are you going to give him drinks? I mean, that's
Will be there, so.
I got to figure out my hall pass at home first.
Yeah, it'd be fun, right?
All right, thank you for all
your. Does your wife like me, Bryn? Am I in with the wife?
I don't think my wife has ever met you, but I'm sure she'd like you. You're a very likable person. Good job, Scott.
You're okay. Good job, Scott. Nice job.
Really fun. Thanks, Vinny. Thanks for bringing up my failure. I appreciate it. Lovely to see you.
Listen, I'm sorry.
So close to my birthday.
That was just, it was honestly, it did occur to me when Jay Moore was suggested. I thought, that's a guy who was huge. And I've looked up his IMDb while you know, trying to recover from having stepped in it the way I did. And he's stayed busy, but kind of quietly busy. So he's not gone away, but he's certainly not.
Well, he's still touring.
I just
he's going to be at the punchline.
And I, I guess I envy him because he can still play pretty much any club in the country and headline it whenever he wants, which is great. And I envy that he can do that, you know. So I always think of him in my mind as a successful comic, but I forget about the acting stuff.
All right, Vinny, magic words. Get him in there quick.
All right, guys, time to go.
The end.